Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Real as Yates podcast. We are your hosts, Paige Yates
and Taylor Yates.
And in this podcast, we share with you everything we know about real estate, Greater Boston, and life. And in case you're wondering, yes, we are in fact related. We are a top producing mother-son real estate agent team where we lead, surprise, the Yates team. Okay, T, anything special that you've been doing or seen or know about happening in Boston?
You know, right now, what my wife and I are really into is this TV show called Shogun. Have you heard of it?
Shogun? Is that the old movie, Shogun? Or is it a, what's it about?
It's a new TV show. It's, I mean, it is going to crush it at the Emmys already. So it is about medieval Japan. So picture like samurai and, picture samurai. And it's at this period where I guess the Portuguese were like the first Europeans to form like a real trading relationship. And they have a monopoly on trade with Japan. And it's about an Englishman who's on a mission to like break that monopoly. And then he kind of just gets swept up in the local politics of Japan that's on now, I guess, on the brink of a civil war.
Is this kind of a TV series based on the book?
Yes, the book, exactly.
Okay. It's actually a trilogy. There are three books that you continue to read.
Yeah.
And I think Tom Cruise made a movie called Shogun, didn't he?
His was The Last Samurai.
Okay, so Shogun, the book, is also really good.
Yeah, and the TV show is just amazing. There's not a lot of shows that my wife and I agree on, but this one we are both all in. You know, I think what it does is it's like, great TV shows and great movies are kind of like a house, if I can use that metaphor. And so when you build a house, you've got a foundation, you've got framing, you've got like plumbing and electrical, and you've got your finishes. And so, you know, like a well-built house, a well-put-together show nails it on all of those components. And I think of the foundation of a home as being like the writing of a show. Like if you have a bad foundation, it's actually really hard to recover from that. And great shows start with great writing. The framing is the direction. You know, it takes a director to see words on paper and picture a scene. It takes a great director to meet somebody in a cast room and see them as a character.
The scenery and design of the background of that movie, I mean, that TV show must be incredible because I remember when I watched some of the old, I mean, I've read the books, so I have not seen the show, but.
Yeah, exactly.
And at that time, you know, kind of rural Japan and.
Yeah.
I mean, don't they have like leather?
Not armor,
they didn't have armor, but they had leather overlays that was their armor. So it really puts you into the costume design must be incredible.
Yeah, it's awesome. But to continue the analogy, it's you know direction makes the shape out you know the shape of the show and just the way framing makes the shape of a house. Actors are like your electrical. They light up the show, right? You know, and a show with bad acting is kind of like a house with no electricity. Like it's just technically it does the job, but it's not that fun. And then the finish is like the production values, right? Like if you have, they just crush it on all of those. And so we're hooked.
What is it on?
It's on Hulu, which means if you have Disney Plus, I think you can watch it.
Okay.
So, oh man, it's awesome. I strongly recommend it too.
Have to go home and watch it tonight.
I know, right? I would binge it if I had more time, but I've got two kids, so that's just not going to happen. So, all right, this month we are talking about renting in Boston, and this week we're talking about the best views in Boston. So why don't we talk about, like, what are a few of the different views that you think are worthwhile in Boston?
I think, personally, I've been in, like, the Clarendon, and you literally look over Trinity Church and see all the way to the Charles, and you see all the way across to Cambridge.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the prettiest views I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly think that the people that have come in and developed the Seaport are capturing views.
Yes.
Right? Whether you're at Pier 4 or Liberty, I mean, there's some extraordinarily beautiful views of the water. I also think there's some cool water views from Charlestown. You know, if you go to the wharfs and you live on the wharfs there, you know, you can see the boats coming by, et cetera. But I think my favorite is from the kind of the Clarendon across high enough above Trinity Church that you just have the spire and then you have the water of the Charles River.
Yeah. You know, I'll expand on that a little bit. I think in Boston, you know, the good views that you should be looking for are One, obviously water, right? The Charles River or the
Boston Harbor.
Yep, or Boston Harbor. City skylines. Boston actually has a very pretty skyline just because of some weird things about Boston's history and its zoning and Logan Airport even. Like, it's just like, it's made a very pretty skyline. So if you can capture some of that, you're in good shape. I think looking out into, say, like the South End or Cambridge, it's a little bit of a different one, but it is cool to be able to see an entire community all in one place, right? We're a big town. We're not a small city, right? So you can see, like, you can actually physically see entire neighborhoods from one place. We actually have a couple of pretty bridges that I think add to, you know, if you can get a view of those, that's a plus. And the last one is less common, but you can get it, which is the Blue Hills down south. If you've got south-facing windows, first of all, you're already winning on the sunlight game.
Right.
But you also, if you're high enough up, can see all the way to the Blue Hills, which is kind of like a small mountain range.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty extraordinary that you can see so much from such a small city.
Yes. Actually, one other one I got to throw in there, Kendall Square. So back when I was at MIT, Kendall Square was not a pretty skyline. It was kind of, I felt bad for the people that lived in Back Bay and had to look at Kendall Square, but they have developed that so much now that it's actually kind of pretty and it's getting better. So
yeah. I think everybody is getting better, right?
Yeah.
People are really making a move to make potential tenants or buyers want what they have. And I think they've done a good job, you know, even seeing the rehabs of the brownstones and the fact that people are putting elevators into a brownstone before they renovate it. So people might have a more intimate space, you know, like a three-story brownstone because three units, and the way it works is there's an elevator directly opening up to your, to where you're going. So I think they've done a really good job of trying to bring some amenities that make old buildings much more current and accessible for people that can't walk three flights of stairs.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And you know, in a previous episode, we talked about the importance of making your rental space your own because it really impacts your quality of life. I put views in that same category. Do you need it? No. But if you're getting a luxury rental and you're paying for something extra, that's really what you want, right? That is something that improves your quality of life. And I actually have an amazing view of, from my house, of the city of Boston. And I just get so much out of that every day, right? When I can just like stop and look at the city. And, you know, when you rent, you should hold, you know, if you can swing it, you should look for that.
And in your view, I would never expect that view from your house. You just happen to be kind of up on the hill in Belmont and you get to your backyard and you're above other houses. So you really get to see it.
It is. If you ever look at it on a map, you're like, wow, this is just such an accident. Like this is just such a fortunate accident. But okay. How can people maintain some privacy when they have a good view? Right. So part of the, you know, one of the things that's challenging about having a good view is in order for you to be able to see very clearly outward, a lot of other people end up being able to see really clearly inward.
Right.
So you're like, how do I enjoy my view of the ocean or the skyline or the Blue Hills, et cetera, without putting my business out there for everybody to see?
Well, so I've seen just these extraordinary new blinds.
Yeah.
The electric blinds that come down. And basically you can see out, but there is the inability to see in.
Yeah.
You know, a helicopter hovering outside your windows could not see you in your own private space. I think that more and more people have gone to that. And they've gotten better and better, both they are, you know, with a clicker, you go up and down.
Yeah.
And two, they've got a mesh versus kind of the old...
like paper, basically.
Yeah. Well, the mesh allows you to see so much clearer versus having little slats that you're trying to create privacy. So I would say from that perspective, things have come a long way.
Yeah. And again, we've talked about before how window treatments are usually fine if you're a tenant and you want to add those. So that's something that I would look at if you're renting and you have a great view and you want some privacy, look at these window treatments that you can do to to make it a little more private.
There's so many clever things out there now, you know, and they're not expensive.
Right.
And you can kind of double up things and double up two panels to make it look thicker and richer and still not pay very much.
Right.
You know, you can go to IKEA and get, I don't know, window curtains for like $20. So, you know, I say to people who don't have a lot of extra time and they're trying to figure out both kind of as a tenant what I can do to make it better, I think there are resources out there like IKEA that have, you know, you walk along there and they have ideas for you left and right, which sometimes it's hard if you don't know what you're doing.
Right. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break and do our joke of the week and a question from the audience. Did you know that Paige and I aren't just your favorite real estate podcast hosts? We're also pretty darn good at our day jobs, too. With over 30 years experience and $1 billion sold in Greater Boston, we're real estate agents you can trust. If you're buying or selling a home, reach out to us at contact@yatesboston.com today. Mom, why do appraisers carry a wasp in their hand?
So the sting isn't so bad for the
When it doesn't appraise? Oh my gosh.
When it doesn't appraise, the sting isn't so bad?
Yeah, I guess everything's relative. So the actual answer is value is in the eye of the beholder.
Oh, okay. I like my answer better, I think.
Yeah. All right, we've only got like a couple minutes left. So really quickly, someone's asking any recommendations for the summer. And I will say, I think in July, we should just do this topic, right? Boston's an amazing day trip city.
Yes.
And so I think we could spend the whole month of July talking about all the awesome things you can do.
Yeah.
But if you have a number one.
So for summer, staying in Boston, is this what we're talking about?
If you're in Boston, they say any recommendations for the summer. I don't know if they wanted like a day trip or like an activity or a weekend getaway, but.
So I think if you stay in the city, there's all kinds of outdoor events, right? You know, there are concerts. The Half Shell has the 4th of July. You can have a big picnic there and listen to concerts in the Half Shell by the Boston Symphony Orchestra. That is extraordinary.
Yes.
I think there's also outdoor concerts down in the Seaport, you know, like in the different areas.
Yeah, in the Pavilion.
In the Pavilion. And I think that's one of the other great things.
Yeah.
I think sporting events, the things that come here. I mean, I think one time you took Asher to see Monster Jam at Gillette Stadium. So there are things that come to the city that come during the summer only.
Yeah, the outdoor. So I think the common thread is, Boston's actually really nice in the summer, and it's nice to get outdoors. So that can mean a lot of different things. Concerts. I think the city's probably going to keep doing beer gardens. I don't know what the latest is on that. But outdoor dining, right? A lot of towns and cities have kept that.
And the North End has Saint celebrations. So they actually have parades. And then you can go have dinner and then go to Mamma Mia's and get your cannolis and whatever you want. So it's like every little pocket of the city has something going on.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for the awesome question. If you're a curious cat and would like your question to be considered, you can just send us an email at contact@yatesboston.com or slide into our DMs at Yates Team Boston.
That's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week wherever you find your podcasts. If you like this, be sure to like, subscribe, and give us that 5-star review. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Yates Team Boston or on the web at yatesboston.com.